Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jashandeep Kaur, and I'm a master's student at North Dakota State University. And today I'm going to talk about corn response to sulfur fertilizer across the Red River Valley. So let's discuss about sulfur first. Why we need to study sulfur? So after nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, sulfur is the fourth essential nutrient required for plant growth and development and helps in synthesis of three major amino acids in the plant. So in recent times, we are seeing several sulfur deficiencies in many field crops, and there are certain reasons for that I would like to list. So previously, most of the plant sulfur demands were met through the atmospheric sulfur depositions, but after the implementation of Clean Air Act in 1970, around 87% decline in sulfur dioxide levels have been seen. So in order to balance this decrease, we need to add a fertilizer or any other source which can meet plant sulfur demands. So in addition to this factor, there are some other factors which leads to the increasing sulfur deficiency, like nowadays very less sulfur is used as impurity in fertilizers and pesticides, and more sulfur is removed by the current high yielding crop varieties. Also, we don't have any reliable soil test to predict sulfur deficiency, and the standard turbidity method doesn't work under high gypsum soils of North Dakota. So coming to the sulfur for corn production, usually if a plant is deficient in sulfur, it will show chlorosis of the younger leaves. Here are some pictures I collected from my sites showing yellowing in the upper leaves. So according to the current recommendation in North Dakota, we need to apply around 11 to 22 kilograms of sulfur per hectare if the previous year has either high rainfall or high snowfall. Here is a quick review of literature on what has been done on corn and sulfur in the previous studies. So mostly the sulfur response sites are coarse texture soil, which are either eroded or have low organic matter content. In Minnesota, a study was conducted to predict the response of corn crop to sulfur, and they found that 5 out of 6 sites responded to the applied sulfur fertilizer, including a soil which had a silty loam soil texture. Similarly, in Iowa, corn yield was increased with the sulfur application at 5 out of 6 sites. Now, talking about the soil test and the plant test, usually plant tests are considered as a better option in predicting the corn sulfur responses. So in my study, I looked upon 3 major questions. So can we expect corn response to sulfur fertilizer in the North Dakota soils? Can we correct the current sulfur deficiency with the recommendation we have now? And can we predict sulfur deficiency by either a leaf test or a soil test? So my research objectives were to determine the corn yield response to different sulfur application rates, and to evaluate the relationship between leaf tissue sulfur and corn yield under different soil types. So coming to my research sites, I had 5 sites across the Red River Valley. 3 were in North Dakota and 2 were in Minnesota. And these are the basic chemical and physical properties of my sites. So 2 out of 5 sites had sandy clay loam soil texture, and the other 2 had sandy loam soil texture, whereas 1 site had sandy clay texture. And in all my sites, the organic matter was above 3%, and the soil sulfur ranged from around 11 ppm to 19 ppm. Looking at some more details about my experiment, so I had a randomized complete block design, and each plot had around 30 into 11 feet size. There were 4 applications, and I had 5 sulfur treatments from 0 to 44 kilograms of sulfur per hectare. And I have used ammonium sulfate as a fertilizer source, which was incorporated before planting in May. For the observations, first I took soil sample at V6 and R2 growth stage. These samples were taken up to 6-inch depth, and I analyzed these using turbidity method. Then I took leaf tissue samples at V6 and V12 growth stage, which was analyzed using ICP. So looking at the result section, this first table represents the amount of soil sulfate with different sulfur treatments. As you can see from the graph, there wasn't any significant difference in V6 stage in Apsaraka, Aja, Gardner, and Walcott. However, we got some difference in soil sulfur at Downer, and with 11 kilograms sulfur per hectare, there was highest soil sulfur. So in R2 stage, there wasn't any significant difference in soil sulfur in any of my sites. And this is the amount of leaf sulfur with different sulfur treatments. So at V6 stage, again, there wasn't any significant difference in leaf sulfur at any of my sites. However, we got some difference in V12 stage at Downer and Gardner. At Downer, the highest sulfur was observed in a control plot, however, but in Gardner, it was higher with 11 kilograms of sulfur per hectare. So in literature, the critical sulfur level ranges from 0.18 to 0.40%, and as you can see from the graph, in all my treatments and at all my sites, leaf sulfur content is between this range. So you can say that the sulfur was adequate for the corn growth. So here is the rainfall data I collected. So in this experiment, it is important to look at the rainfall data, since like nitrogen, sulfur is too prone to leaching losses. So in May and June, I got really low rainfall. However, it increased in July, August, and September. So we can expect some leaching. We can't expect any leaching losses in May and June, but in July, August, and September, there are chances of sulfur leaching. Looking at my corn yield data, so I didn't get any significant response at Apsaraka, Ada, and Walcott. However, at Downer and Gardner, there was some response. At Downer, the higher yield was observed with 33 kilogram treatment, but at Gardner, the results were a little different, since I got higher yield in control plots rather than the treated plots. Now looking at the correlations, firstly, this is about the corn yield and soil sulfate sulfur. Here the x-axis represents the ppm amount of sulfate sulfur, and y-axis represents the corn yield in megagram per hectare. So I got a non-significant correlation between corn yield and soil sulfur at both V6 and R2 growth stage, indicating that soil tests are not a good option in predicting corn yield. For the leaf sulfur, here the x-axis represent the percentage of sulfur in the leaves, and y-axis represents the yield in megagram per hectare. So I got some significant correlation between leaf sulfur and yield, but the R-square values in both cases were too low. In addition, I looked upon leaf nitrogen to sulfur ratio and yield correlation, but I got a non-significant correlation between leaf nitrogen to sulfur ratio and the corn yield. So concluding this 1 year data, I would say Downer responded positively to applied sulfur, and I got highest yield with 33 kilogram sulfur per hectare. Out of 5 sites, 3 sites showed non-significant response. So as we saw in the weather data, the rainfall was really low in May and June. So there is a possibility that very less sulfur got leached out, and most of the plant sulfur demands were met by the soil available sulfur. Plus, last year we saw very high mineralization in nitrogen projects. So that can be the case with the sulfur too. And the mineralized sulfur plus the soil sulfur had met the plant demands, and we didn't got any response to the applied sulfur fertilizer. Lastly, leaf testing, though it's a better option than soil testing, but it couldn't correlate well with yield in my this experiment. Thank you.
Sulfur treatment, and then the soil sulfur content. How do you explain the fact that you apply 11, 11 kilograms per acre or something like that, and where the highest in the soil is also not the tree?
Which one can you? This one? Soil sulfur? This one. Okay.
Yeah. Where you have, you apply 11, you have 60. That's 60. And then you have, I mean, you have highest when you apply 11, you have 44.
Yeah. So, how does that happen? So firstly, this I did with the turbidity method, which is not a reliable method to predict, to test soil sulfur. And secondly, with 44 kilogram treatment, sulfur might got leached away, and so it didn't came in the test. I mean, I'm just assuming it, assuming the reason. So for a corn crop, usually it requires around like 16 pounds. So I would say for corn, if you have between 15 to 20, it would be optimum.
Your 44 hectare sulfur was four times as much as the 11, and you use ammonium nitrate. What did you use to balance the deficit of N in those plots?
So I've applied nitrogen fertilizer for.
As what source? What was the source?
Ammonium sulfate.
But then your 11 and 44 are very different, the amount of N coming from ammonium sulfate.
So, yeah, I did calculations. So if I'm applying 10 pounds, 10 kilogram treatment, and if I'm applying 44 kilogram treatment, I did calculations and I balanced the other nitrogen with the ammonium sulfate.
The green ammonium sulfate?
Mm-hmm.
His question was about if you're applying different rates of ammonium sulfate.
No. Yeah.
To get yourself a then how are you, you know, your nitrogen content is going to be higher, right, with the sulfate treatment. So he was asking.
Okay, I got it. So I applied less urea in the 44 pounds treatment.
So I'm just wondering, what are the criteria that you identify taking grains? Did you look at crop analysis? Did you look at soil? How did you find out?
No, I didn't look at soil or plant. It was applied before planting, so there were no plants at that site. Okay, so these are critical growth stages for corn, R2 reproductive stage and V6 vegetative stage, so that's why I selected these two.
Alright, any other questions? We've got time for maybe one quick one.
How much value do you put in soil tests for sulfur? When you look at, if you applied sulfur at different rates and basically it came back flat, how much value can you place in a soil test sulfur test?
So, So are you asking about the critical sulfur value? What's the optimum sulfur value?
Or just you applied sulfur, you saw zero response from the soil test. You should see a response, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So do we put value in that test or not? Or is there a better test?
So it depends on the crop you are growing. So like corn, it requires around 15 to 16, just apply that much. And if it's soybean, it requires much more than apply that much.
Okay, that's all the time we have for questions. Is Johnny Campbell here? Oh, yes, thank you very much. Sorry about that.